I imagine some of you have been to Yellowstone Park before and have probably met some of those forest rangers there. Well, a former park ranger there tells a story of a ranger who was leading a group of hikers to one of the fire lookouts. And he was so intent on, you know, telling the people in his group about all the different flowers and animals and so forth, that he kept ignoring the messages on his two-way radio. He found them distracting. They were keeping him from focusing on telling about the flowers and so forth, so he just turned off his two-way radio. So when he was and the group nearing the tower, he was met by a nearly breathless lookout who said, "Why haven't you been responding to your two-way radio?" And the guy said, "Well, I just turned it off, didn't think it was important." Well, the lookout said, "A grizzly bear had been seen stalking your group, and all the authorities were trying to warn you. But he couldn't be warned because he wasn't listening." In our lesson this morning from James chapter 1, verses 19 through 21, we see the necessity of listening to God through His Word. James had just talked about in James chapter 1 how Christians are born, brought forth through the Word of truth. And so in this morning's lesson, we're going to see, and James tells us, he informs us, that we have to listen now to that same Word of truth. Because it's going to tell us how we need to live. So the same Word of truth that brings us forth also is to direct our lives. And it's up to us to listen to God through that Word. It's a very practical section of James, as is almost the entire letter. Each of us, I think, can take home a number of principles to live by that will make our lives considerably better. James chapter 1, verse 19, first of all, starts by saying, "So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God." Know this. He says, all of you, every Christian, you need to make sure you come to learn this principle. He says it is essential for pleasing God. So learn it, know it. And what is it? First of all, learn this, that every man needs to be what? Swift to hear. The word swift there has the idea of quick, ready to listen. Ready to listen to what? What's he been talking about in the first part of this book? About God. About how God sometimes sends us hardships and sufferings to make us better people, to improve our character, and how God brings us forth through the Word of truth. And how God doesn't tempt us, but He does provide us with ways out of those temptations. So who are we to be listening here? When we talk about swift to hear, we're talking about swift to hear God. Ready to hear God. Quick to hear God. That's what He's telling us. Similarly, Paul told Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 2, the importance of this. Verse 15, one that you certainly are very familiar with. 2 Timothy 2:15, "Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Listening to God carefully through the word of truth. What do you have to be? He says you have to be diligent. Jesus on several occasions told the people who He was talking to that they needed to be careful about what He was saying. Luke chapter 8, verse 18, Jesus says, "Take care then how you hear." Mark chapter 4, verse 24, "Pay attention to what you hear." Jesus says, the things I'm telling you are extremely important. Be careful how you hear. And pay attention to what you're hearing. He says, it's critical. That's what James is saying here when he says, you be swift to hear, or you be quick to hear. And that, of course, is hearing God's Word. Because if we've been brought forth by the Word of truth, then we need to have the kind of disposition that's willing to listen to that Word of truth. When the writer of Hebrews wrote Hebrews chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, he tells us what might happen if we neglect listening to God's voice. Hebrews chapter 2, beginning in verse 1, the Hebrew writer says this, therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things we've heard, lest we drift away. For if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard Him? We must give the more earnest heed to the things we've heard. He says, if you don't, you can neglect that great salvation. Neglect listening to the Word is a very dangerous thing. Just like that forest ranger. He was neglecting listening to that radio, and he put himself and others in great danger. That's what happens when we neglect to listen to God's voice. We put ourselves in danger, and indirectly, we're going to put other people in danger as well. It's critical that we listen to God's Word. It instructs us. It enlightens us. It's a lamp to our feet, a light to our path, Psalms 119:105. It's essential. I can't stress how important it is for us to listen to God's Word. To listen to it. But that's not all, he says. Not only should you be swift to hear, you should be what? Slow to speak. And I think the context is talking about slow to speak back to God. You're to listen to God's voice and be slow to speak back to God. The prophet Isaiah, back in Isaiah chapter 45, addresses this. Isaiah chapter 45 and verse 9, Isaiah tells us this about listening to God and not talking back to God. Notice this. Isaiah chapter 45 verse 9 says, woe to him who strives with his maker. Who strives with his maker. Let the potsherds strive with the potsherds of the earth. Shall the clay say to him who forms it, what are you making? Or shall your handiwork say, he has no hands? We're not to strive with our maker. We shouldn't be talking back to God. But often don't we do that? Talk back to God? We may not verbalize it, but we talk back to God. We need to be careful that we don't resist God's Word. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 8, this is the advice that Paul tells Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 8. Gives examples from the Old Testament. Now as Jannes and Jambres resisted Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds disapproved concerning the faith, but they will progress no further. For their folly will be manifest to all as theirs also was. Resisted the truth. It is folly for you and I to resist the truth. But how often do we do that? How often do we come across some part of God's Word and resist it? It's very clear what it teaches. It's very clear what it tells us to do, but we resist it. Either we think it's too hard to do, or we think it'll take away some of the pleasure of our lives. We think it'll do something to us, and so we resist it. James says it's folly, it's dangerous to resist God's voice. What God is telling us is necessary. Resisting it is dangerous. But so often we do that very thing. We have to be careful that we don't twist God's word. Some were guilty of that. Peter writes to them in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 16. He talks about some who do this very thing. As also in all his epistles, talking about Paul speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand, which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction, as they do also the rest of the Scriptures. We know many in the religious world do this very thing. They twist the Scriptures to their own destruction. But we also have to make sure we don't do the same thing. That we don't take God's Word and turn it into something it's not meant to be. We twist it. It's straight. It's to the point. It's clear. And what do? We twist it so it's no longer straight. James warns us, don't have that disposition. Be careful about how you approach God and His Word. Be ready to listen, quick to listen, be attentive to God's Word, because it's the only guide you have. No wonder so many in the world are off track. It's not surprising we have so many people who are messed up because they've stopped listening to God's voice. They're just not listening anymore. Other things are more important to them, they think. And so they don't listen, they don't hear, they talk back to God, they resist God, they neglect God's voice, they turn God's Word into something it was never meant to be. And he says on top of that, be slow to wrath. Have you ever gotten angry with God? Don't get angry with God, James says, because of life's difficulties, because of life's hardships, because of life's suffering, because James has just said, brother, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Why? Because the trying of your faith produces patience. It makes you a better person. So don't get angry with God. Also, don't get angry with God at what's written in God's Word. Have you ever done that? You've gotten angry with God because of something written in God's Word that you don't like or you don't want to do or you don't think is fair or whatever? James says it's dangerous for you to have that attitude of being angry with God. Instead, we should have the kind of disposition that's ready to listen to what he says. The Bible is the only thing that makes us complete. It's the only thing that prepares us for every good work. Nothing else is able to do that. He says, here's the danger of not listening to God. He says, the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. This is the explanation for verse 19. He explains why verse 19 is so critical. The person who is slow to hear, but is quick to talk back, quick to get angry, does not have the kind of disposition or character that God's going to find acceptable. What we listen to and how we listen are critical. And I couldn't possibly stress that enough. If there's one thing the church needs here and everywhere else, is people who are willing to listen to God. Needs it desperately. Not listen to men, not listen to anything else, but listen to God. That's what's important. Because he says, talking back to God, resisting God, neglecting God, does what? Cannot produce the righteousness of God. It cannot produce right living. the one who is righteous practices righteousness. Practices righteousness. Does righteousness. It's a way of life. A righteous person lives in a certain way. They live in a way that is described as being in self-control. Swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. That describes someone who has self-control. That person is practicing righteousness. And he's practicing righteousness because he's listening to God. He's not resisting God. He's not rebelling against God. He's not turning God's word upside down. He's listening to God and accepting what God says. He's really, truly listening. All teachers know the difference between hearing and listening. People can hear, students can hear. Many times they're not listening at all. Yeah, they hear. Sound waves enter their ears. That's it. No listening. We have to listen to God's word. Truly listen to what He's saying. Here's the result of listening. Verse 21. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. The English Standard translates it, lay aside all filthiness and rampant wickedness. Vile, wicked, corrupt. Paul, when he wrote to the church at Colossae, told them about the necessity of putting off certain things. In Colossians chapter 3, beginning in verse 5, this is what Paul told the church there they needed to do. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which ye yourselves once walked, when you lived in them. But now ye yourselves are to put off, remove, get rid of, throw away all these. Notice this list. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another. Since you've put off the old man with his deeds and have put off put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. There are things to put off. Filthiness, wickedness, sin, things that are vile. This putting off and getting rid of was used in the first century for having wax in your ears. If you have a lot of wax in your ears, what happens? You can't listen. James is saying, get the wax out of your ears. That's what he's saying. Get the wax out of your ears. Why? So you can listen. So get rid of filthiness and immorality and corruption and sin. Do that and you can hear God's voice. You can hear it more clearly. You ever had ears stopped up or plugged up, maybe due to sinuses or something, and then all of a sudden it just kind of cleared, like a popping noise or something? And you go, wow, I can really hear now. That's what he's talking about here. It says you've got to put off, get rid of, clean out, so you can hear. So you can really listen to God's voice. It keeps us from hearing the word. It has to be removed. Because when you remove them, then you can listen. Then you can receive the word without any type of resistance. Reminds us, of course, of the parable of the seed and the sower. The seed was sown in different types of soil, but it was the good soil. What made it good, though? What did he say about the good soil? The good soil received, accepted the word of God. when we listen to God's Word, when we receive God's Word, when we accept God's Word, that's good soil. But good soil has to have what? Has to have all the weeds removed. All the rocks removed. All the thorns removed. So it can receive, as he says here with meekness, that implanted word which is able to save your soul. We must be able to, willing to, listen to God's voice and do whatever it says, whether we like it or not. We must be willing to listen. Don't rebel against it. Don't twist it. Don't resist it. Don't neglect it. Because it's only when we receive it with the right disposition, the right attitude, the right heart, the right mind, that it's able to save our souls. Paul mentioned this, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 and 2. Paul writes this. He says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, and in which you stand, by which also you are saved." Why were they saved by the gospel? Because they had received it and they were standing in it. "If you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain." They listened to God's voice. They didn't resist it. They accepted it. They received it into a good heart. And when that happens, it's able to save your souls. Paul says, "I preach to you the gospel. I preach to you the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. I preach to you how one is saved. I preach to you," Paul says, "all you need to know to be saved." But they, just like us, must listen to God's voice. And when the Bible's very clear and explicit about how one is saved, we must listen to God's voice and accept it. It may not be what the world teaches. It may not be what we grew up hearing. But if the Bible teaches it, God is telling us, and we need to listen to His voice. When Jesus says, "Unless you repent, you'll all likewise perish," we need to believe that. We need to believe that we must repent. When the Bible says that confession leads to salvation, we need to believe that. Romans 10, 9 and 10. When Jesus told Nicodemus that he had to be born again to enter the kingdom of God, we need to believe it. We need to listen to God's voice. Accept it. Because it's only when we accept it, we receive it, that it's able to save our souls. And we have to, as Paul says there in 1 Corinthians 15, 2, we have to hold fast to the Word. Once we're baptized for the remission of our sins, we must continue to listen. Listen to His voice every day. Hold fast to it. Because if we don't, we're in danger. Great danger. Listen to the voice of God. When we do, it's able to save our souls. I hope these words have caused you to think about what you need to do. If you need to be baptized, if you need to be immersed for the forgiveness of sins, if you need to come confessing wrongs, if you need to come asking for prayers, whatever it is, God is encouraging you. Listen to His voice. He wants you to come as we stand and sing this song.